Today, Radio Verulam welcomes a big name from the Premier League. He is the go-to injury data analyst. He writes for Sky Sports, The Telegraph and TalkSport, amongst others, whilst managing his own site, Premier Injuries. It's the one, the only, Mr. Ben Dinnery. Thanks for being on the show with us today.
No problem. It's great to be on.
Well, I want to get right into the questions, and I'm going to start off with my club, but the club for Radio Verulam is, of course, the Hornets, Watford, and Hector Bellerin has injured his ACL, which is one of the worst injuries you can get. However, you tweeted this week that they are now at a 10-year record low for this dreadful injury. What is the reason behind this lack in this terrible injury?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to say. There are a lot of contributory factors, result in such a horrific setback, really. So you can't just, look at one single thing. Ideally, you would need to look through individual players, how those injuries occurred, to be able to sort of compare the data. As was the case with Bellerin, he was coming back off almost a month out with a calf injury. Given the type of player as well, he's a modern day fullback, a wing back with fast, explosive movement. He's up and down the pitch. And that little bit of time away from the first team due to his calf injury probably meant that he was suffering from a little bit of fatigue. The last days of the game. And fatigue is certainly a big factor when it comes to ACL injuries. But over the years, there are a number of sort of issues and consider external factors, maybe tackles or players landing awkwardly against the pitch. And you've also got the Danny Ings issue a few years back, and that was due to it can be quite an innocuous thing where it's just a case of studs getting caught in a turf, and a queer looks to move and a quick change of direction, and the foot stays firmly planted, and that will put additional strain on the ligament, and that's what caused the rupture. It's great news in terms of ACL, but there are elements of luck in that as well. If you look at maybe we've only had four ACL ruptures reported this season, but they've only seemed to affect the two clubs. We have two at Bournemouth with Lewis Cook, and we have two at Arsenal with Rob Holden as well. So it's strange, I know both clubs have looked into, particularly Bournemouth, who seem to suffer a high number of knee injuries generally, and have done for the last few seasons. You can pick out the likes of maybe Tyrone Mings, Callum Wilson, and from their investigations and tests and just looking into it, they come to the conclusion that we're just a bit unlucky with how those injuries have occurred. There's just no rhyme and reason to it. It's just maybe, the wrong place at the wrong time or the wrong decision, external factors and just be on the receiving end of a pretty innocuous tackle.
Well, it's good that they're on the down low now, that they're not happening as often, because the ACL is a horrendous injury to get. But I want to continue with this North London team trend, and Dele Alli joins the long list of Spurs players out with injuries, and a lot of pundits are saying Tottenham's problems are down to so many of their players playing deep into the World Cup. However, this week you tweeted out that Man United are actually the team with the most injuries this season. So what do you think are the reasons for both United and Tottenham? Could it be the hangover from the World Cup?
Yeah, so the data that I actually tweeted out, and it's very simplistic in the terms of we have a team and this is how many injuries have occurred. To give it a little bit of context and to offer a fairer playing field, you also need to look at maybe how many games these teams have actually played. So particularly if you look at Tottenham and certainly Manchester United, the Chelsea's and in the Manchester Cities of this world. You know, the more games you play, so the more players that are exposed to the game environment, the increased chances of injury risk, you know, the incident rates are higher. So there's that to take into account, you know, fundamentally. So to give you, you know, that means we have some, you know, teams like maybe Wolverhampton Wanderers and Newcastle United. They've probably played around maybe 24, 25 or 26 competitive games this season, whereas those involved in European action, who are going maybe a little deeper into domestic cup action, are playing, you know, in excess of maybe 33, 34, 35 games. So you've got that additional load in the first place as well. And when you factor the travelling that these players are doing, you know, and they're playing maybe three games every 8 days, you know, that gives you a little bit of insight into why these teams are maybe suffering a little bit more. Now, to touch on your point with regards to Tottenham and specifically Dele Alli, you know, they had a lot of players who were involved, certainly in the latter stages of the World Cup. And of those players who were involved in the tournament, I think it's only Toby Alderweireld is the only player who hasn't suffered any kind of injury for Tottenham this season. You know, the rest, you can look at Jan Vertonghen, Harry Kane, Dele Alli, Hugo Lloris, Davinson Sanchez. You know, the list goes on. And I think, a lot of that, you know, will come down to, you know, they had very little or no pre-season at all. You know, and that, ultimately, that's what forms a cornerstone of every player's season. You know, research will indicate that those players who are unable to complete a full and comprehensive pre-season programme are at increased risk of injury incidents.
Ben, sorry, really fascinating stuff. I've got two quick questions. Directly linking to this and another just to sort of broaden the picture. You mentioned there, obviously, the game is coming thick and fast, as it does over that, particularly the Christmas period, where it's, you know, it's almost every 3 or 4 days there is a game at high intensity. Have you got stats and ability to compare the injury ratio in the Premier League during that period versus pan-continent, where there is a kind of Christmas break? I'd be fascinated to learn your take on that. And the second question, again, just broadening the topic, is that there's a lot of talk at the moment about a correlation between heading of football and concussion being something preeminent across all sports right now, really aware of the long-term negative impacts on players' health. I'd really love to get your take on that correlation and what maybe we should be aware of when it comes to the dangers of concussion specific to football.
Yeah, so if you have a look at the, you know, typically the congested fixture period over Christmas, you know, and again, injuries and reported injuries and soft tissue problems have all been significantly lower during 2018. I think I ran some quick tests and we were around about 35% down on the year before. You know, famously, it was the famous Pep Guardiola quote in 2017 when he said, you know, you're killing my players. And that was, you know, as a little bit of a dig at the, you know, the television companies who are rescheduling fixtures. And ideally, what you want for players, you know, optimum levels of recovery between games are, you know, at the bare minimum, you want 48 hours. But ideally, you want to be looking sort of past maybe 72 hours. And certainly within 2017, there was games which, you know, players were being involved in fixtures less than 48 hours apart. So what you were having, you know, these players are, you know, flagged as being what Arsene Wenger always used to refer to as in the red zone. And by that, what he means is those players are going to be more susceptible. Those players are more at risk. And there's a chance that they could suffer some kind of soft tissue muscle, you know, tear or strain.
So down, but again, any idea how that still compares versus the continent, again, during that intense period?
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't, you know, track injury data across the European. My main focus is really on the
sure.
Premier League. So it's difficult to sort of specifically sort of pinpoint and identify, you know, any correlation between the two or otherwise. But what I would say, you know, we do see an increased spike during this period. But, you know, it's also worthwhile recognising that that spike as well is due to an increase in the games. So again, you know, we refer back to, you know, the more minutes you play, the higher the chance that you have of injury. But with the Premier League now, you know, there's the squads are deeper. You know, there's a lot more strength and depth within the squad. There's a lot more rotation. And, you know, players are being managed a little bit better now. So hopefully this downward turn is, you know, going to be a good reflection of things to maybe come. And obviously with the introduction of the win upgrade, then that should, you know, reduce again significantly.
And just real quick thoughts on that kind of debate, really, between the heading process, particularly over a long career, and concussion. Do you have any opinions on that?
You know, there's a lot of research going into that, and you kind of deny, you know, what's been happening and what's been proven in the past. Again, there's not too much research out there. You know, it's took a while for the authorities to be able to sort of stand back and recognise, you know, this is something that we really need to consider and take seriously. So those, you know, that's ongoing. And, you know, it's not really my area of expertise. As such, it's not something that I'm involved in a lot. I just tend to focus really on the data side of things. And as an analyst and looking at that data, certainly, you know, the concussion protocols that are coming in terms of players' management and phased returns, I definitely see, you know, players being managed much better between games. They're on go. You know, there seems to be less risks taken when managing players for return to training and return to play. You know, the pitch side management is improved. We have a lot of, you know, the medical teams and the club doctors are under a lot of scrutiny these days. There are no hiding places with the, you know, with the TV cameras and in social media. So I think, you know, it can only benefit the sport, it can only benefit the players, and, you know, as long as those protocols are put in place, then hopefully the players are, you know, will be protected from that.
So I've got one last question for you, Ben, and it's actually a question for the future, and we're talking about Marcus Rashford, who is going to be a future talent for England, but you spoke about how the withdrawal from the Brighton-Hove Albion game was fatigue-related. However, there's talk in the future that fatigue may be removed by electrical stimuli to the head, or, as it's been kind of dubbed, brain doping. So fatigue is said to be brain-derived to protect the body, but is this technology something clubs are genuinely looking at, and is it even safe to make players go beyond their mental limits?
Now, this is a difficult one. And when you talk to clubs, I mean, you know, fatigue-related, that's a word that, you know, is almost fabricated by the media. They like to use this word a lot of the time. But internally, certainly within the medical staff, it's something that is, you know, very rarely used. And so it's about managing players both, you know, in the build-up to a game and after the match. And following the correct protocols and around that. Now, you know, at elite level, the games are coming thick and fast. And a lot of the time, it's what your brain's telling you. You know, you are feeling tired and you need to rest. And how people recover post-match, that comes down to the individual. You know, so you have, you know, there's research around the cryotherapy, isotonic drinks and diet, you know, compression wear, so on and so forth. But, you know, ultimately that comes down to the player and what they feel comfortable with. And if the player is, you know, happy and relaxed and recovering and recuperating, then, you know, I think that's certainly the way to go with that. You know, it's an individualised programme and it's specific to attorneys. I don't think you can, you know, blanket and just have everybody, you know, singing from the same hymn sheet, as it were. It's, you know, if you look at training around the clubs these days, you know, a lot more, it's a lot more personalised. There's an understanding that the demands of the game affect players in different ways, and therefore they need to be managed and monitored and more carefully and maybe differently around different positions, and you know, around maybe the historical stuff, maybe potentially around injuries and things like that.
A sympathetic attitude to each individual as they play a part in a big team. Fascinating chat, Ben. Really learnt a lot. Is there a website that you'd like us to address if maybe listeners wanted to learn more either about yourself or your work, or, as I say, just you know, feel free to promote anything internally, a website or a social media feed or anything at all?
Yeah, so I manage premierinjuries.com, and the primary use of that is it's just to flag up player injuries within the Premier League and player availability. And I try to give some kind of insight around potential returns of players. So if those players are going to be involved in a weekend game. And most of my time is spent on social media through Twitter, and that's at Ben Dinnery. And what I've tried to do through that is hopefully educate people and provide a little bit of the data, give them a little bit of insight into understanding about specific injuries, you know, where the players are in terms of their recovery, and maybe the thought processes into from the clubs and the players and the backroom staff, mm-hmm. you know, when they're considering maybe a player returning to play.
Hey, look, Ben, honestly, fascinating stuff, and I'm sure, you know, I'm going to be checking out more of this online. I'm sure many, many others will be. Just want to say thank you again for your time tonight, and wish you every continued success and happiness as you continue on your way as the guru of all things injury-related when it comes to the Premier League players.
Thank you much. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.